Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Angelville. My name is Angel. You can always reach me at my website, angelville.net, or you can email me at angelandaspen@aol.com. Anyways, today I wanted to talk a little bit today about a kind of, it seems to be an issue that keeps emerging all the time, that it needs to be addressed. But I'd like to give you a little bit of a crash course in compassion today. I know you're probably going, I'm the most compassionate person on the planet. But you probably are oblivious to some things, and you're not even oblivious, you're not even aware you're not sensitive to. And that's what we're going to talk about. Because the nicest people in the whole world can do things that let you down, or you let someone else down and you didn't even know. You know, Albert Einstein used to say that thinking of ourselves as separate entities was an optical delusion of consciousness. So we are all interconnected vibrationally. When I was very young, I was working in Germany, I was working in Hamburg, I had a huge, huge bedroom. And I used to go out of body all the time in this, I don't know why, but I think it was because it was an artist's sort of gallery. He'd use this room as a gallery to do paintings and stuff. And there was, of course, a very avant-garde type of group of people that would come in and look at all the paintings and stuff like that. But long story short, this room had a lot of vibrations in it. And yes, it was my bedroom, but when he would have his shows, he would empty it out. The bedroom was massive. It was like half the size of a swimming pool, if you could imagine how big it was. In Germany, everything's big, big, big. High ceilings, big trees. Even the dogs are huge there. The people, they're just like walking trees. They're so tall. But it's like the land of the giants if you go to Germany. Very different from Greece or Mediterranean or Italy, that where everybody's very small. And the buildings are small. And people are small. Animals are small. But I used to go out of my body all the time. And there used to be this kind of voice that would talk to me. And I don't know why, but every time I went out of my body, there was this sort of antique north, south, west, east compass sign in the corner of the room on the top of the ceiling. And I don't know why that I would see that. It looks like something from like the 1600s or something. It was really old looking. And it would just appear when I'd go out of my body, and this voice would talk to me. And I remember one day the voice said to me, today we're going to talk about faith. And I remember thinking, oh, is that so important? Like, I didn't, you know how it is, you're still human, so you don't really think that a word you hear constantly all the time has that much significance. Anyways, at that moment, a sort of black shadow of a man walked out of the wall. And there were no discerning features, there was no clothing or anything. It was like a black sort of shape of a person, of a man. And it was a man, and he was crying. And he was saying, you know, God, please save my wife. Please don't let her die. God, we know you hear our prayers. And please, God, please let her live forever, or live, not die right now. And he was begging God to save his wife's life. And I remember the voice said to me, are you listening? Are you paying attention? Because I remember thinking how odd it was that the voice of this man was talking to this voice of the light, and the voice was very aware of the man, was very aware that the light could hear him, and the light was wanting me to see this faith of this man that was praying to him. And I remember asking the light, are you going to save his wife's life? And The light said, his faith will save his wife. His faith will save his wife. And then the light proceeded to show me that they were going to be together in sort of a dreamscape. And then the light said to me that the man would experience something the light called time collapses, where time would go by really rapidly fast, and the man would be allowed to be with his wife faster. He said that in some events there will be another love anchor that will keep that advancement from occurring, but that if you really wanted to be with someone, you could advance time. And he showed me the two of them together in dreams, and I remember at one point she was cutting his hair, and the voice said to me, now do you see what faith is? I guess the voice was trying to show me that this man, even though he knew his wife was dying, knew that somehow the light was somehow going to help her or make it so he didn't feel as much pain after she died. And I know that's hard to understand, because a lot of times when these events would occur, because it happened every night for months, I would go out of my body and I would get taught all these things. And I remember, like, once I was told the meaning of life, and I remember going back into my body, and I remember thinking as I went back into my body, oh my God, this is so easy. I can't believe I didn't know this. I can't wait to tell everyone. This is what it means. And of course, when I went back in my body, my memory was erased. Sometimes I get little echoes of it, but it was really simple. It was so simple that I couldn't believe that nobody could figure it out. That's how simple it was. But I remember once, this is where the compassion side of what we're going to discuss comes in. The light showed me, it called our existence here the like a harmonic system. It worked on an echo frequency, and it explained to me how we are all interconnected with one another, and that includes plants, animals, minerals, anything that had a life force. And it had little, like these little threads, and even showed me how through this harmonic system, which is where the threads reside, that they even connected to the stars in the universe. And even when we gaze at the stars and when we gaze at the moon and we have thoughts, that energy boomerangs back to us. So it was at the time, you know, I was like 25, and, you know, a lot of the stuff that was told to me was so profound at the time it was occurring, but I forgot about a lot of it when I came back in to my body. But when I look back on it, I see more significance in what I was shown. And with these threads through this harmonic system, because I remember the voice saying that the universe worked in this harmonic system, and it was explaining how important our thoughts were, not only to one another but to nature, which makes sense to me, because as a psychic person, especially with certain animals, the soul is very easy to communicate with, such as horses, dogs, dolphins, some cats, and birds. They're very telepathic. And, you know, that transcends the time, this sort of physical barrier between one another when you're working on a sort of telepathic level. For instance, I've got clients all around the world, China, Australia, Austria, France, and if I think of those people, you know, if I accidentally send out a telepathic thought to them, they usually are on my answering machine the next day, or sooner than that. So when you want to telepathically connect to someone, let's say, and I'm going to get to the compassion thing in a moment, but Let's say you had a very difficult, painful divorce, breakup. Let's say you had a very abusive parent, or perhaps you had a friendship that was left with things unsaid and it's bothered you for a long time. You can send the message, you can communicate with that person very, very easily on a telepathic level. So let me show you right now how to do that before I talk about compassion. I know you're probably like, oh, I'll get to the point. But I think I'm just sort of, I don't prepare. I kind of let spirit guide my conversations on this show with you. And sometimes it has important things that it wants you to hear, because there could be someone listening to this. My goodness, it could be 10 years from now. And there's a significant message somebody may need to hear. But this is really convenient for everyone, because we've all had difficult people. And you know how some of these people are. It's like you try to talk to them and it's like talking to a brick wall. Or there's so much denial. Or perhaps you're dealing with a sociopath. Or you're dealing with a narcissistic sociopath. Many of you, I'm sure, know what a malignant narcissist is. A malignant narcissist is somebody who loves inflicting pain. Not only are they self-absorbed, but they want to hurt you. That's what's called a malignant narcissist. So anyway, perhaps maybe you've got someone that betrayed you on a level and you don't even want to ever see them again. But let me tell you what, telepathy comes in very, very handy. So what I want you to do is just close your eyes for a minute. Think of the person that hurt you. They could be dead or alive, doesn't matter. And see them standing before you. I want you to very silently open an indigo blue third eye on your forehead. And I want you to very silently breathe the white light in through the crown of your head, out through your third eye, towards that person's third eye. And in this place, in this spot, in your mind, I want you to say to that person the things they need to hear, or the things that you want to get off your chest. So just do that now for a moment. And say whatever it is you feel in your mind. And now, I want you to cut that light with a knife or a laser beam or whatever you like. And I want you to watch as they fade away. Now, please don't abuse this, you guys. Please, please. Oh, close your third eye. Sorry. Close your third eye. And whatever you do, I don't want you saying things to people that are mischievous, okay? Because if you do abuse this, it's going to come back and bite you in a way that's going to cost you 50 times what you did. So whenever you start abusing sort of energies that help you make amends, so to speak, if you abuse that power, God, karma, the universe, whatever you believe in, is going to take its toll from you, okay? Now, I understand a lot of you have been hurt. Now, we've all been through that. We've all had people lie to us, betray us, steal from us, whatever it is. But don't engage in that energy, because if you do, you're still connected. And by being connected, you're attracting magnetic energy towards you. Let things go. You know, I think I said this once before in another show. My partner's mom was a nun. She was 93. She died a couple years ago. But anyway, she always had this saying, and it was really good. She'd always say, offer it up. Just offer it up. And, you know, if you just ask God to help you, like, or whatever you believe in, to help you, you'll find you get support. So don't engage. Let the higher forces help you. You can send the message of, you know, I'm just really disappointed that you hurt me like this, and I would really appreciate if you don't contact me again, and blah, whatever it is you want to say. But you don't want to start saying things like, oh, you know, I'm going to come over there with a gun and cut off your head and shoot you, and, you know, don't say stuff like that. I shouldn't even have said that just now, probably, but, you know, try to just be an adult. I know that's not easy, but it makes life a lot easier being an adult. You know, it's... Being a kid is good when you're, you know, a kid, but when you're an adult, that makes your life is going to be so much more complicated. I love what Judge Judy says. If you want to be stupid, you better be tough. And that's true. If you want to be stupid, you better be tough. So, being stupid, childlike, innocent, you know, you can be a little bit, but take on. Step into your adult shoes, and life will treat you a lot better. Now, getting to the crash course in compassion, I wanted to just explain to you that we have souls, obviously. Animals have souls. Plants have souls. Trees have souls. Mountains have souls. Everything with a life force has a soul. So everything with a life force is pretty much on even keel. You know, it's sort of a common denominator. You know, just like the Native Americans believe that we are at one with nature and with the animals, that is, as a psychic person, that's what I see on a psychic vibration. So you should have compassion for everything. You know, one time I remember I was driving through the Mojave Desert. And I'm sure some of you have done that drive. It's so beautiful. And there was an old man set up on the side of the road. And he was selling honey. And he was selling oranges, bags of oranges. And he was very old. He was probably about 80 years old. And he was living in this little broken down car. And he told me he was diabetic. He told so I was with my partner. He was diabetic, and that he was going to have to go in the hospital next week and have his legs cut off. And it was heart-wrenching. You know, this poor man was so poor. And I felt so bad for him, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to buy some honey and some oranges. I bought three jars of honey, which were the best honey, I swear to God, I've ever had in my life. But anyway, and then even though I didn't really want them, I just bought two bags of oranges from him and paid him cash, of course. And while we were standing there, I'll never forget, a very expensive Bentley pulls up. A beautiful silver Bentley with this very affluent couple, older couple. And they were very nice. And they very innocently said to this old man, "Do you know how to get to blah, blah, blah?" And that poor old man spent 20 minutes telling them how to get there. And they're like, "Okay, thanks a lot. See you later." And I was so upset when they left. They were so oblivious to his plight. Okay, yes, granted, I'm sensitive. Yes, of course. But as a human, and you see a destitute person who's old in an old car with all his clothing and blankets and with a little old, you know, ratchety old table set up with oranges and honey trying to make a few pennies so he can survive. You know, this old man spent 20 minutes trying to help these super rich people, you know, find their way. They couldn't just give him 20 bucks. Or they couldn't just say, "Oh, you know, we'll buy like some of your honey." They didn't even have to do that. They could have just given him $20, $5. They could have given him a dollar, whatever. You know, if I was rich, I'd have given him $100 or $1,000 or whatever, you know, whatever I could afford. That's very important. You know, whenever I travel, I always go to the bank before I travel. This is a very important thing. And I get a stack, $100 stack of fives. And $100 stack of ones. and I make sure every hotel I stay at, I tip that maid $5 or $4, or, you know, it depends on how the amount of work, you know, she's doing. I tip all my waiters, my whoever. I give them really good tips, because especially, you know, when you're with, you know, you're surrounded by people that are just barely getting by in life, you know, it might not mean a lot to you giving them $5 or $4, but trust me, that could mean the difference of them being able to buy gas that day to get to work. So, you know, when you give, don't expect the universe is keeping a bank account. Oh, although it really is, I shouldn't say that. You know, don't expect, oh, if I give $5, I'm going to get back $100. No, it doesn't work like that. You may give $5, and maybe you'll get something saving you $5 down the road that you're, like, not expecting, or somebody will pay you back the $20 you gave them 6 months ago that you didn't think they'd ever pay you back for. So when you give, it's very important that you give unconditionally, you know, and be prepared when you take. Because when you take, they take back like 10 times what you took. My famous story is I came out of the grocery store and I had full, you know how it is. You just do all your grocery shopping like once a month and you buy everything, and it's so crowded and there's so many people. And I remember I was in line and it was raining, and I spent half an hour just getting in line and checking out, and I'm walking in the parking lot, and there's a little chocolate croissant sitting at the back of my cart I didn't see, that I didn't give to the cashier. And I looked up at Spirit and I said, you know what? Go ahead. Charge me. I knew they were going to charge me for that freaking little thing. I knew I was going to get hammered for that. Sure enough, I did. I got, like, overcharged at Walmart a few days later for, like, $5. I was like, oh, whatever. I knew that was going to happen, but it was worth it, believe me, not to go back into that grocery store and stand back in line for that, you know, 70-cent croissant. But, you know, you got to, my point is this. You got to have compassion for animals. Take a few minutes to click the change.org petitions. You know, click, click, sign petition, click. That's all it takes. You know, if all of us do that, you know, dogs aren't going to be turned into kebabs, or, you know, pigs aren't going to be slaughtered when they're still conscious. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be graphic with you, but I just wish you would see how, I'm just trying to get through how significant it is to be compassionate to those around you and not to judge. I mean, we don't know why someone is working, living hand to mouth and has 6 kids, and, you know, you can't judge people. People just are so mean. You need to just find that compassion, because when you're compassionate to your fellow man, who, by the way, we're all interconnected with one another, don't forget the harmonic system, the universe is aware of that, and the universe will bless you. And, you know, the Native Americans had a famous saying that if you protect the animals, the rivers, and the trees, that the gods will take care of you. Something like that, it said. Which I remember reading when I was a kid, and that made perfect sense to me. Because I always thought, well, they can see everything, and so, you know, of course they're going to, you know, make sure that if you're a good person, karma is going to, or God or whatever, is going to balance that out. Although it doesn't seem like it most of the time. It seems like the good people have all the crap come their way. I'm sure whoever you are, you've gone through hell. Whoever's listening to this show, I guarantee you, if I were to see you and look at you and talk to you, you would tell me you've had a hard life. Nobody's given you anything. Nothing's come easily. It's been hard. Because spirituality kind of awakens, emerges, and opens through hard times. It doesn't just happen overnight. And so, you know, this compassion is, I think it's a very important tool of the universe to measure your humanity. So when you are compassionate to something innocent, like an animal or a little, you know, pig going to slaughter, or, you know, a calf that's getting hurt, or, you know, whatever it is. The universe wants you to use your powers for good, because it wants you to amplify your sensitivity so that you can receive better blessings from above. Okay? I hope what I'm saying makes sense. So anyways, please try to show compassion. Even if it takes a few extra minutes, once you start doing it, it's automatic. It's an automatic response. And you'll find that it brings a lot of luck into your life. And it'll transform your life, okay? So take it from one who can feel energy. You want to feel compassion for everything, everyone, and anything you come into contact with or see on the TV or see on the news, okay? Okay, my friends, I will talk to you soon. Again, you can always reach me, angelville.net, angelville.net.